before I read the scripture from 1 Timothy. I read many years ago that one of the things you're supposed to do as a pastor during stewardship season is use humor, because it helps people to relax about money. So, there was once a Zen master. He wore the long flowing robes and walked around doing this a lot. Anyway, this Zen master went to the same hot dog stand every day for lunch. And he had the same lame joke every day. He would walk up, he thought he was very clever, and he would walk up to the hot dog vendor and he would say, "Make me one with everything." Well, the hot dog vendor would every day, well, he's a customer, so you laugh. Very funny. So anyway, one day the Zen master comes up, flowing robes, same joke, "Make me one with everything." So the hot dog vendor makes a hot dog with everything, with the works, hands it to him. The Zen master pulls out a $10 bill and hands it to him. Stands there. Hot dog vendor just stands there. And suddenly the Zen master says, "Where's the change?" Hot dog vendor says, "The change, my son, must come from within." Oh, that's right. I got to point out, I have my Bulldogs are going to play the Broncos next Saturday and the following Saturday. So given the history of this rivalry, I figure I better wear the tie today. So if I'm going to wear it at all. So yeah, the great Pat Hill, former Fresno State football coach, was asked once about the rivalry. He said, asked about the rivalry with Boise State, and he said, "It's not a rivalry. If it's going to be a rivalry, we got to win every now and then."
After those two games, they'll change their mascot to a chihuahua.
It might, yes. It may very well. Okay, my turn now. Thank you. I appreciate that, Chuck. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 10. Hear now the word of God. "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of this world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have never in my life been poor, but I am sure that there are special temptations that go along with being poor. I would imagine that the poor are tempted to resent those who have more than they do. And the poor are tempted to believe that maybe God has forgotten them, and that maybe their condition is just because life isn't fair. There are also special temptations that go along with being wealthy. Now, nobody in this room, I would imagine, nobody, if I was to raise your hand, ask you to raise your hand, are you wealthy? Nobody here would raise your hand. You've heard me say it many times before, on a world scale, everyone in this room is filthy rich. I, like many of you, have traveled in what we used to call the third world, in Africa. We are wealthy beyond what many people in the world can imagine. Okay, so anyway. So it's kind of ironic that we read right over verses like this, and it ought to give us heart failure. Listen to this. Jesus said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And by the way, if you know that text, the rest of it is his disciples that were standing nearby said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "With God, all things are possible." But he's giving a warning, stern warning. The Apostle Paul said this. I read it just a moment ago in his letter to Timothy. "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." And I think sometimes we, and I'll include myself, we gloss over these verses as if God didn't really mean it. But he does. Paul means it. Desiring to be rich is dangerous and deadly. But thankfully, there's more. There is good news. And the key that unlocks the door to peace about money. Let's put it that way. The key that unlocks the door to peace with money is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, these words. "There is great gain," says Paul, "there is great gain in godliness with contentment." That's the key word, contentment. The answer to peace with money is a heart content with God. Content in God. So I want to ask you this morning, are you deeply content in God and in Him alone? Are you deeply content in your heart, in your relationship with Him? Is there peace? Do you have a satisfaction, a contentment that stands, that doesn't collapse whether you have much or whether you have little? And having much can destroy our contentment. Well, having little can destroy our contentment by making us think God has forgotten us. Having much can destroy our contentment by making us think we don't need Him. He's superfluous. It's not a small or easy thing to learn how to not lose your contentment with God. God gave us life in the first place to show His glory and that we might be content in Him. And when we are content in Him, we glorify Him. Paul learned the secret of how to be content in all things, in any circumstance. Now listen to what he said. This is in his letter to the Philippians chapter 4. He said, "I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Paul had learned to be content. And the key to this contentment is a spiritually healthy relationship with money. He had learned the secret of facing, he said, plenty, hunger, abundance, need. So what's the secret? I think he gave it. We go back up a little bit into chapter 3 of Philippians. "Indeed," he said, "I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, knowing Jesus was so precious to him, knowing Jesus was so valuable to him, knowing Jesus such a treasure to him, it didn't make any difference what his other circumstances were. To put it in contemporary terms, if the stock market goes up or you get a big bonus, he says, I find knowing Jesus more precious than the silly stock market going up or the bonus that I got. And when the stock market goes down or his income drops, he says, I find knowing Jesus more precious, more a foundation of peace than the stock market going down or my finances being lost. The glory and the beauty and the worth and the preciousness of Christ, knowing him, is the secret of contentment in every circumstance. Now, let me tell you something that you already know, but you need to hear it again, and I need to hear it again too. Money does not satisfy the heart. God's word tells us that money does not satisfy the heart. Ecclesiastes 5:10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. Now, I want to interject right there, and let's just be honest. There will be a whole lot of people who will say, well, come on, Phil, money does satisfy. My money is a good friend. Money has never let me down. I have a great house and two cars and a fine private school for my kids. I've got a boat and a cabin and life insurance and pensions and mutual funds. It may not all go with me to the next world, if there is a next world, but it definitely hasn't let me down. Really? I'm going to place my bet with the author of Ecclesiastes. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. You were made for contentment with God. He made you for a relationship with him, to be content in him, to know him, to glorify him. And until you are content in him, nothing else will satisfy. It's a spiritual law. You have deep longings. No matter how much money you've got, no matter how successful you are, I know you've got deep longings. They rise up in the night. They creep up on you when you're alone and discouraged. And if you're honest, you know that the stuff you've surrounded yourself with cannot satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. And none of that stuff can still the fears of onrushing aging and death. The word of God is true. Don't kid yourself. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. George MacDonald was a great Christian writer of the late 19th century. He was a big influence on C.S. Lewis. This is something that he wrote. The heart of man cannot hoard. His brain or his hand may gather into its box and hoard, but the moment the thing has passed into the box, the heart has lost it and is hungry again. If a man would have, it is the giver he must have. You follow that? Isn't that wisdom? It's not the gift that satisfies. Only the giver will ultimately satisfy. There is absolutely no link between having much money and knowing contentment in this life or the next. There's a wonderful phrase in the Bible, better is, and it appears a number of times. We read it in the Psalm a few minutes ago, Psalm 37. Better is, and I'm going to read just three verses, better is verses. It's another way of saying more deep contentment is. Psalm 37:16. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, says, and this may be where the phrase originated, probably is, that we brought nothing into this world and we will take nothing out of this world when we go. I want to share that with you now, close with some advice from an unlikely source. Many of us will immediately recognize the name Stephen King, a very famous author, The Stand, The Shining, It, Scary Clown Movie, Misery, The Green Mile. Earlier this week, I came across some really excellent advice that he gave about giving. And the interesting thing is, Stephen King is not a Christian. Not at all. He's very forthright about that. He's an avowed atheist. But listen to what he says about giving. Oh, and I got to set this up one more little thing. He's going to mention an experience. You may remember that about 20 years ago, Stephen King was in a very serious automobile accident and was severely injured. Okay, here's the advice. A couple of years ago, I found out what "you can't take it with you" means. I found out while I was lying in a ditch at the side of a country road, covered with mud and blood, and with the tibia of my right leg poking out the side of my jeans like a branch of a tree taken down in a thunderstorm. I had a MasterCard in my wallet, but when you're lying in a ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. We come in naked and broke. We may be dressed when we go out, but we're just as broke. Warren Buffett, going out broke. Bill Gates, going out broke. Tom Hanks, going out broke. Steve King, broke. Not a crying dime. All the money you earn, all the stocks you buy, all the mutual funds you trade, all of that is mostly smoke and mirrors. It's still going to be a quarter past getting late, whether you tell the time on a Timex or a Rolex. So I want you to consider making your life, and this is still Stephen King, I want you to consider making your life one long gift to others. And why not? All you have is on loan anyway. All that lasts is what you pass on. And then he said more. A life of giving, not just money, but time and spirit, repays. It helps us remember that we may be going out broke, but right now we're doing okay. Right now, we have the power to do great good for others and for ourselves. So I ask you to begin giving and to continue as you begin. I think you'll find in the end that you got far more than you ever had and did more good than you ever dreamed. Now, brothers and sisters, that's coming from an atheist. How much more should those who are content in Christ, who know the deep contentment of walking with Him, how much more then should we be a giving people, a people of generosity? The key to happiness, to contentment, is not wealth. You cannot find happiness in something that blinds you to the true source of happiness. Jesus repeatedly portrays himself as the greatest treasure ever discovered, and he is. Amen? Let's bow together in prayer. Oh God, once again we thank you in this season of Thanksgiving. We thank you for the abundance we enjoy. And we pray your blessing as later on this week families will gather together around a big groaning table and enjoy a wonderful feast and great fellowship and time with loved ones. Lord, bless those times, I pray. And God, set us free. Fill us with contentment in you. Do not allow us, Lord, prod us by your Spirit that you will not allow us to be content with anything less than you. And out of our abundance, freely give. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.